This is an ABC podcast.
This is ABC Australia Wide on ABC Radio.
We've got the election coming up soon. What kind of issues are most important to people of your kind of age? What will you be voting on?
Me? Jobs. Jobs, getting people work.
As the federal election campaign focuses on Tasmania, it's clear unemployment is going to be a big issue among voters there. And a teenager from Broome has collected more than 200 pairs of footy boots for young players who usually go barefoot.
More boots. Somebody dropped off a box load today. There are more coming. Everyone thought we'd need a chartered plane to get the boots back in the end. One uncle said, "I think you'll be able to shoe the whole Kimberley, Max."
I'm Bridget Fitzgerald, and this is Australia Wide. I'll be stepping in for Sinead Mangan while she takes a few days off. As the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, campaigns in the marginal Tasmanian electorates of Bass, Braddon and Lyons, the problem of high unemployment in the state is once again making headlines. Figures from the Bureau of Statistics released today show the national unemployment rate crept up to 5% last month, and Tasmania had the highest jobless rate at 6.7%. Robert Clarkson is a young man who lives near the small town of St Helens, located on Tasmania's east coast. ABC reporter Carrington Clark asked him how many of his friends living in the tourist town were employed.
I'd say probably 45%, maybe 50%, easily. You could even push it 60.
Was it quite hard to get a job as a young person?
Yeah. It's very hard. You got to know people, or you got to just be lucky enough to get that chance.
And what are the options for young people as far as employment is concerned?
You cook, you clean, or you fish, or you farm. Half of the school leavers will end up somewhere else rather than staying in the town themselves. It's the fishing retirement village.
We've got the election coming up soon. What kind of issues are most important to people of your kind of age? What will you be voting on?
Me? Jobs. Jobs, getting people working out of their ruts they're in.
And do you pay much attention to what the different politicians are saying? Like, have you decided who you're going to vote for?
No.
How are you thinking you'll make that decision?
I make the decision nearly on the day. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't vote for any of them.
Robert Clarkson from St Helens. And unemployment is an even bigger issue if, like Robert there, you are a young person. A report from the Brotherhood of St Lawrence in March showed that Tasmania has some of the highest rates of youth unemployment in Australia. Tanya Hunt is the CEO of the Youth Network of Tasmania. She joined me a little earlier.
Look, I think there are a range of reasons as to why youth unemployment is so high within Tasmania. What our young people are telling us is that employers are seeking staff with experience. And so what we're finding is that young people who are actually finishing their education, they don't necessarily have the experience that employers are seeking. So we think that there's a mismatch between employer demands and the skills and experience possessed by our young people. Transport is a significant issue that has an impact on employment for young people within our state, particularly in our rural and remote areas such as the northwest and the east coast of Tasmania. We also have a significant issue with underemployment within Tasmania as well, so that we do have skilled and experienced and qualified young people, but they're just not able to secure full-time employment, which is a shame. So youth unemployment in Tasmania is significantly higher than the youth unemployment average of 11.2%. We're currently sitting at 15.1% across the state. But of course, there are other areas and other pockets within our state where it's significantly higher. So the southeast of Tasmania is experiencing a youth unemployment rate of about 17.8%. Within the city of Hobart, our capital city, we're looking at about 16.9%. And generally across the west and northwest of the state, it's about 15%. So it's much higher than what the youth unemployment rate is nationally.
Does there appear to be any reason why it is particularly worse in some areas?
Look, I think, again, it would be down to, the availability and opportunity for employment within those areas. So we're talking about, when we're looking at the southeast, it's quite, it's not close to the CBD or a major population areas. So I guess that young people in those regions, I think as the young person mentioned today, that there are limited options with regard to employment in those areas. So they either work in the hospitality industry, they might clean, they might fish, or they might farm. So I think it comes down to opportunity and availability.
From where you stand in your organisation, Tanya Hunt, there's obviously a lot of focus at this point in time in Tasmania and trying to win votes there in the state. Is there something you'd like to see in terms of promises from Scott Morrison or Bill Shorten?
Oh, look, what I'd like to see firstly is that they actually connect and talk to young people within Tasmania. I think what the state, the federal government should be looking at is a plan to tackle youth unemployment. So to introduce more effective public policy. But in order to do that, we need to actually talk to the young people that this is impacting on about their experiences, so that initiatives and programs that federal governments are introducing are actually relevant to their needs. But I think we also need to talk to employers and to understand their needs and barriers to employing young people within the state. We have heard that employers want young people who are experienced, but when you're starting out and you finish your qualification, or you're moving from secondary school into the workforce, you don't necessarily have that experience.
So what exactly has your organisation been looking at when it comes to what could be a solution to this problem?
Okay, so what we're looking at is ideas and suggestions that young people have put forward through our statewide consultations with regard to youth unemployment. They're finding it difficult to transition from education into the workforce. So what we would like to see is greater support and more investment in that area. We know that in Tasmania, our state government has provided financial incentives for businesses that take on apprentices, as well as incentives for those undertaking an apprentice. But there's a significant cohort of young people that really do need support to enter the workforce. We would like to see within Tasmania the reinstatement of pathway planners for students in high school. And I mentioned earlier that we really do need to address the systemic barriers that exacerbate youth unemployment, such as housing and homelessness and transport for young people. And I think there is that mismatch with regard to skills, experience and qualification and what employers are seeking within Tasmania.
Tanya Hunt, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
ABC Australia Wide.
Country people can't be discriminated against, not in Tumut.
They were homesick, you know, the poor little lumps.
A flood is a flood and a fire is a fire and a drought is a drought.
You're listening to ABC Australia Wide on ABC Radio.
And if you're thinking that those figures for youth unemployment are high, listen to these. For people with a disability aged 35 to 44, the labour force participation rate is just 59.5%. That's a statistic that Josh Meredith knows very well. Mr. Meredith is 25 years old and he's got Down syndrome. And in the face of such poor statistics, his parents really wanted him to have the same opportunities that were afforded to his brother and sister. So they've helped him get work with local businesses. And his visibility in some different jobs around town is really helping to change community attitudes in his hometown of Albury. Alison Jess has the story.
Where are we going, Josh?
Davis.
Baker Motors.
Davis.
Gonna work hard?
Yep.
Yep. Gonna do your jobs. Gonna be a rocket, Josh.
Again.
Rocket Josh.
Josh Meredith is on his way to work at a local mechanic in Albury. With him, support worker Courtney Tuxford.
Pretty cool, you got lots of friends there.
Josh has been working for about 4 years now. He does odd jobs for businesses like cleaning, laundry and paper shredding. Mum, Helen Meredith, says she and her husband wanted Josh to be independent like his siblings and peers.
So we looked at Josh's skills, what he likes doing, and what we discovered that he likes being with people, he likes being out in the community. And we decided that what would suit him well would be to go into small businesses that had work that needed to be done that wasn't happening. So that's what he does.
You do watering?
Yeah. Ah, gonna go water all the plants? Yeah.
Mr. Meredith is kept busy each week with paid and volunteer work. He has about 10 regular clients. One of them is Baker Motors. Here's parts manager Jason Reed.
He makes all our service packs for most of our quick service bays. He waters the plants, he empties cardboard, he files invoices, he takes out the rubbish. He does all sorts of weird, wonderful little things. I guess Josh gets an understanding of how we work, what is required of him, and that he is actually a useful tool in our workforce.
Oh, this is why you always finish early on Wednesdays. You go too fast.
Yeah. Courtney Tuxford said Mr. Meredith's skills have excelled since she started working with him about 18 months ago.
I don't even have to tell Josh or prompt him in what to do. He just goes and he does his work. And I know that from reports from the other support workers that he gets really good and fast at his jobs. The staff at the workplaces are having to give him more jobs to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must be doing all right, Josh.
Yeah.
Do you like working?
Yep.
How does it make you feel?
Now.
Smile.
Hear that.
What do you like best about working with Josh?
The biggest thing is being able to, like, kind of grow a relationship with Josh. That's been a really fantastic thing. And just learning more about him and, you know, getting to know his interests, getting to see what makes him excited. Just kind of, you know, I guess seeing the world from a different perspective as well. Like, he brings so much joy to people.
Helen Meredith said it was important for Aubrey Wodonga to see her son working in the community.
It's important for Josh and it's important for other people to see him out in the community and that he does have the skills to be doing this type of work.
And Josh, what's it like having your own business?
My mum, Ellen, Yellow Star, Kim, can it work?
So your mum and Caleb and your brother Alistair and Kim, they all work. So you want to do that as well?
Yep.
Thanks so much to Alice and Jess in Aubrey Wodonga for that story.
You're listening to Australia Wide.
It's a species that I have been fighting for.
Growing up in the bush is such a special thing.
So when the rain does come, we've got a few numbers.
What
got
if it never comes?
Put a feather in your cap.
ABC Radio.
Nyambla yenga kabukare me federal election nganda. Yapa nga Australia warangile yunglu jana milan yapa yanga ngana yung nina kabumandla.
Ads like this one in Walbury language are part of a push in the Northern Territory to improve the enrolment rate among people who live in remote communities and town camps. Katrina Bevan joins me now to explain. What's happening here?
Yeah, so just as you said, Bridget, the enrolment rates here in the seat of Lingiari, a bush seat in the Northern Territory, traditionally they haven't been very good. We have a large Indigenous population in this seat who live, as you said, in remote communities and also in town camps in places like Alice Springs as well. So in Lingiari, we are really behind the national average when it comes to enrolment, between 75 and 80%. It's long been an issue. It's been raised by both the CLP candidate and the current Labor candidate who's held that seat, Warren Snowden. They've both expressed concerns about this over the past few years, especially Warren Snowden. But since the last election, there's actually been about 4,000 more voters who have registered in the seat, which is, you know, quite a lot. So it's a big improvement on the last election. And the Australian Electoral Commission, as we heard, they've been pushing since the end of March, really these promotional videos that are available in 12 Aboriginal languages, which are encouraging people how to vote. So they give information on how to vote, where to vote, and give some employment opportunities with the AEC as well. So there's this real push to get people on the roll, get them voting, allow people to have their say, and that's for communities and then in-town camps as well. It's quite difficult because previously there's town camp residents, they were enrolled with addresses that were very vague. So, you know, Larapinta Valley, which is an entire kind of section of Alice Springs. There's no, you know, house number or street number or traditional address. So one organisation, Tangentyere Council, they've been working with the NT Electoral Commission on a strategy to really increase those town camp enrolments by working on getting those specific addresses. And they said through this, they've enrolled 100 more people on the electoral roll to do that. And, you know, it's a big improvement on past years where with things like the same-sex marriage postal vote, a lot of the people with the council had to, you know, hand deliver those surveys to the doors of people because there was no actual addresses for them to receive them. So there's lots going on here, lots of pushes from different areas. And obviously, as we know, Bridget, we've got until 8 o'clock this evening to, you know, get on that roll and update details as well.
If you have time for in that short time frame, if you are listening, then please do so. Katrina Bevan, thank you so much for that update from Alice Springs.
Thanks, Bridget.
I'm Chris Taylor.
And I'm Craig Rucastle.
And if you want the most incisive, up-to-the-minute political coverage this election, then you won't want to listen to our new show, Democracy Sausage.
For the most in-depth analysis on all the key seats, candidates and policy announcements, tune in to pretty much anyone but us. It's Election 2019, Bill Shorten versus Malcolm Turnbull.
No, I think they replaced Turnbull with Scott Morrison.
Scott Morrison? No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they do.
Democracy Sausage. Listen now on the ABC Listen app.
You're listening to Australia Wide and you're with me, Bridget Fitzgerald. Homelessness is often seen as a metropolitan problem, but people sleep rough in rural and regional towns as well. And there are usually fewer services outside the big cities to help. In Toowoomba in southern Queensland, there's a push to try and change that, particularly for young people experiencing homelessness. There are 130 young people who are homeless on any given night in Toowoomba. And as that number rises, there's calls to do more about it. Belinda Sanders has the story.
Tom Topper, are you awake?
Yeah.
Excellent, thank you.
Chloe Corcoran was just 16 when she started living at The Haven. The house is on a tranquil rural block west of Toowoomba. Residents are supported by on-site staff to complete school, find work and learn the skills they need to live independently.
Have you got work after school?
Yeah.
4:30.
Yeah.
What time do you need to pick up?
9.
Okay. Yeah. Can you put that on the board?
Yeah.
Chloe was kicked out of a family home filled with alcohol-fuelled violence.
I thought I'd come here and it would be just full of drop kicks and drug dealers and stuff. I honestly wasn't sure what I was going to walk into, but I had an interview with Danita and Amanda the next day and they showed me my room, which was number 4, and I asked them a few questions. How am I going to get to work? How am I going to get back here? What happens here, I guess? They said I could have the room if I wanted it, and I said, yes, I do. And Danita said, just have a think about it and let us know. And I was like, I want it. There's no thinking.
She is now living independently and has won a scholarship with a local law firm to complete her legal degree. The Haven started 32 years ago and is always at capacity. Danita Bellett is the program manager.
If you ask any of the young people that come here, if they could, they would go home and live with their families. This is, to come here, this is not their fault. They would rather be at home with their families, but unfortunately, due to all different circumstances, they've come here, and we try our best to keep it as home-like as we can. But no, none of the kids are coming here because they don't want to follow the rules at home.
There are plans to double the capacity of The Haven with the construction of 3 extra residential cottages within 12 months.
So we're going to create vegetable gardens, have chickens, try to reduce our waste, try to reduce the impact that we have on the environment. We're going to become more water sustainable, energy efficient, and just teaching the young people that it's not hard to create a small garden that, you know, they can use in their cooking, and that being outside is actually quite quite relaxing.
The organisation in charge of the facility is Yellowbridge Queensland, and the CEO, Penny Hamilton, says not enough is being done to address the issue.
If you can give our young people a safe place, give them an opportunity to achieve their potential, they will not become adult homelessness. So that is our plan, is to pick them up, intervene and give them a chance of a brighter life.
Penny Hamilton thinks the problem is one for the community, not government, to solve. And a round table of the city's leaders will sit for the first time in June.
I would like to end youth homelessness by 2022 in Toowoomba.
Hello, The Haven. This is Danita.
Thanks to Belinda Sanders reporting there from Toowoomba.
ABC Australia-wide.
This is our history. This is Australia's history as much as anything.
On ABC Radio.
Let's head to Broome in Western Australia now, where a teenage boy has set about delivering more than 200 pairs of footy boots to young players in a neighbouring Aboriginal community. Many of the kids receiving these boots will be wearing them for the first time. Vanessa Mills has the story.
Football is an integral part of life in far northwest Australia, especially so for remote Aboriginal communities. It's common to see kids, even toddlers, at training and game days, playing footy on the sidelines. 13-year-old Max Beadle has also grown up playing footy in Broome, but this year left home for his first year in boarding school at Melbourne's Caulfield Grammar, and he noticed something about football in Melbourne. All the players had boots.
So I grew up playing footy here all my life, and I've like played with a mix of players, and some kids would come to like training and the games in barefoot, or they'd just play in old runners. So I thought it was like a really good idea to share, because in Melbourne the kids there take like a pair of footy boots for granted, so I wanted to share that opportunity with some of the kids that live in the Kimberley.
And so Max thought he'd start collecting unwanted boots from Melbourne's football community.
I thought it'd be a really good idea to collect the boots from Melbourne and then bring them back to Broome and donate them to the kids of Bidjedanga.
Max set up 5 cardboard boxes around the city, and his new club, St Kilda City, organised a boot swap day. And Max thought he'd get a modest number of boots to bring home to Broome.
I got 222 football boots, pairs of footy boots.
Did you ever imagine that you would collect so many boots?
No, at the start I was just thinking I was going to get just like 20 odd pairs. Yeah. That's been really good.
It went out of control in Melbourne. The Melbourne family kept, you know, texting and ringing saying, more boots, somebody dropped off a box load today, there are more coming. Everyone thought we'd need, a chartered plane to get the boots back in the end. One uncle said, I think you'll be able to shoe the whole Kimberley, Max.
Max's mum, Rachel Beadle, couldn't believe her son's philanthropic idea had grown so rapidly.
No, but at the same time, Melbourne community is a very generous community, and I think the project resonates with a lot of people, you know, that people who live in the city are generally more fortunate, and those remote communities in our country are less fortunate. So that everybody got on board. It was an incredible response.
And then came the logistics of bringing home 222 pairs of boots in 10 large boxes. Max wrote to Qantas, which waived excess baggage fees, and he's got enough boots to distribute to 2 Aboriginal communities and his home club of Cable Beach. His family's driving to Bidjedanga today, south of Broome, to give them the first load of boots.
It makes me feel, like, pretty proud and good that I can give back to like some kids, because I grew up playing with like lots of Indigenous people and like just a whole mix of players, so it feels really good to like be able to give them boots to play in. Doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, I just want to help them out and give them a pair of boots to play footy in, game they like.
What amazing job by Max Beadle there in Broome. Thanks so much to Vanessa Mills for bringing us that story. You can read more about Max and see some photos of him with his boxes and boxes of footy boots, more than 200 of them, up on the ABC News website.
One of the questions was, Dean, do you remember when Grandad tipped the backhoe over out at the ball?
ABC Australia-wide.
And it was like, I thought, okie doke, that thing works.
On ABC Radio.
And that's all from us this evening. Thank you so much for your company. It's been a lot of fun filling in for Sinead Mangan today. I'll be back with you after the long weekend next Tuesday. Remember that if you do miss us in the meantime, you can always head to the ABC Listen app or to wherever you get your favourite podcasts, subscribe, download, listen back to some of your favourite episodes. My name is Bridget Fitzgerald. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.